Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
If you're thinking of getting a new cat or a dog for the house or the family and you're not sure how to make it feel at home, or if you're worried about how other pets might react to the new arrival, vet Niamh Fagan is here with all the advice that you need. Niamh, lovely to have you with us again. It's really important before people make a decision on a new pet, whatever that pet is, to do your research and make sure you're ready for this, because it is a big change, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's such an exciting time, and it's, you know, it's a great thing to add a new pet to the family, especially if you have kids in the house as well. It's one of the best things I think that you can do. But what we see a lot of the time as vets, you know, the puppy or the kitten might come in to us for its vaccination, and we want to be having the conversations with those owners to ask or to see if they've put the thought into what type of pet have you gone for here, whether it's a cat or a dog. You know, different lifestyles. Cats are a lot more self-sufficient than dogs might be, and there's a lot more variety with dogs. If you're choosing a dog, all dogs aren't created equally. Mm-hmm. And what type of breed are you going for? Where are you getting that dog from? So it's just making sure that you have put the time and energy into researching about this. There's a lot of information online. Yes, there can be misleading information, but generally it'll steer you in the right direction. And go into your local clinic, even if you haven't got that pet yet. Your local veterinary clinic will want to help and advise you in the right direction.
Right. Well, yeah. We have a query now, which is really interesting for us because it really addresses everything that we want to talk about today. We'd really like to adopt, but it doesn't seem to be very suitable for children under 7 generally. So they're talking mm-hmm. about dog breeds here. They've 3 children, 5, 3 and 6 months old. They're hoping to get a dog in the next year. So have you any suggestions for breeds and tips?
So there is no perfect breed for, you know, a family house. If there was, we would all have the same dog. There is pros and cons, I suppose, to each breed, and they will have different needs and requirements. If you're looking at rescuing, what I do have to say is there's a lot of rescues in Ireland, and they would be very picky, I suppose, in who they do give those dogs out to. So when you're looking at ads online on these rescues, a lot of them will say not suitable for families with children under 7. And that is just because maybe that dog is a big dog, or that dog doesn't like being, you know, his personal space been kind of encroached on. Mm-hmm. So they're just looking out for both parties on that side. But in regards to breed, what I would say is steer away from kind of working breeds, maybe dogs like collies and maybe some spaniels, things like that. More kind of family friendly dogs would be, I suppose, slightly lazier dogs, maybe a dog like a Cavalier or something like that. Now, the downside of dogs like that is they can come with some health issues like heart disease and things. But it's just once you look into it and research, just make sure you're not getting a really high energy dog, a dog that needs to be mentally stimulated for a lot of the time of the day. And if they're in a family home, they might get a bit wound up, and that can come out then in aggression or, you know, barking yeah. or whatever the behaviours we don't want.
When you're considering how much time you have to exercise your dog as well, like mm-hmm. if you're working full time and you've a busy home life as well, you've got to be careful that you don't get a dog that needs to be out for Absolutely. An hour in the morning and an hour in the evening, because you just won't
no,
have time.
That's it, exactly. And especially if you do have a family as well, it's how much time do you have for this pet? So that's where you need to go back to considering what pet is actually the right pet for me. And maybe a cat might be a better option there. But if you are going for a dog, if you have a full-time job, isn't really fair to kind of have that dog at home all day. Maybe you'll need to look at a daycare or someone to come in and walk your dog, and the finances that come with that. It's making sure you've looked into all of that and mm-hmm. if you're able to facilitate that.
What's the ideal time, like the max that you should leave a dog on their own for?
So kind of a dog that is very confident and has been trained well, really they shouldn't be left for any more than maybe 3-4 hours on their own. But a lot of the breeds, the common breeds that we're seeing today, like cockapoos and kind of sausage dogs, things like that, they can have a separation anxiety. They really shouldn't be left for long periods of time on their own, where they're going to be barking in the house, you're going to have complaints from your neighbours, or it's going to just kind of stimulate an anxiety in them. Mm-hmm. And again, that develops behaviours that we don't want, such as barking and biting, and especially with children around.
Right, you don't want that.
No.
Any advice for people who maybe are thinking of getting a pet to join another pet? So they have one mm-hmm. dog and they want a little friend for the dog. That can be complicated as well, can't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it can be. But if it's done right and it's done with patience, it can be successful. So it's looking at the dog that you have in your house and knowing your dog well as well. Does your dog get on with other dogs? If your dog is reactive with other dogs outside the home, it really isn't going to be a good idea to bring another dog into that house. So if you do have a friendly dog, introducing them on neutral ground, and before you've made any purchases as well, whether it's a rescue or from a breeder, just having that introduction. Also swapping maybe blankets, things like that, with scents on, from the dogs, making sure that your dog has slowly been introduced. If you do end up buying the dog and bringing the dog home, maybe keeping them in separate rooms and introducing them slowly.
Gradually.
And, yeah. Very gradual.
Okay, some general questions coming in. This listener says, we have dogs that bark at the TV. Have you any suggestions to stop this? We've tried lots of different things with no success.
Yeah. So with this, this can kind of start off earlier on in the dog's life with little signs that we don't pick up on. And that's why I say maybe look into research when you do get a dog, dog behaviour and what the signs are. But with this specific case, the behaviour is there. The reason the dog is barking is because it's triggered by the TV or a loud noise. And that can be coming from maybe a fear or an excitement. So positive reinforcement goes a long way with dogs. So you're treating them, using lots of treats or food to positively treat them when they're doing a behaviour that you want them to do. So when they're nice and calm, they're in their bed in the cornered room where you want them to be, maybe you're on the couch relaxed with you, treating them, that's the type of behaviour we want. If it's with the TV, maybe having it on a low volume, giving them the treats when they're nice and relaxed, and then increasing the volume bit by bit. That can work really well with the doorbell as well. When the doorbell rings, not having excitement, giving them treats when they are nice and relaxed. It takes a long time. It can take months, a lot of kind of commitment to this, but you will get there. Mm-hmm. That's how to go
and
about it.
And don't react then when the dog barks at the television?
Don't react. Negative reinforcement, I suppose, is still attention. It's still giving them something.
Okay, so when we say stop that, Barney, they say, oh, you did a thing.
Yeah,
so
exactly
it worked.
That. Yeah, blank, give
all
them
right.
Nothing. Yeah.
I have some more questions coming in. This is about a Bichon Frise. Mm-hmm. When she has a drink, she starts to cough and sometimes her legs start to wobble. Have you any idea what that could be?
Okay, so that could be a number of different things, but it could be that she's drinking too quickly. So it's worth looking at, does this happen every time or is it just maybe after activity where she's really thirsty and she's drinking very quickly and they can aspirate a little bit of that water down into the lungs and it can cause them to cough. Mm-hmm. So that's more than likely what we're looking at. With the leg shaking, it would depend on the dog's age. Shaking can be excitement, but it can be weakness as well. So if she's an older dog, it might be worth getting her looked at. Maybe she's suffering with a little bit of arthritis and the muscles are weakening. So that would be worth visiting the vet for.
Okay, yeah. A couple of things to check out there. All right, another one. This family has a four-year-old boxer. Recently, she started reacting to some breeds while on the lead walking. Also, she's very protective of her ball. If we're out playing catch and another dog wants to join, she reacts very protectively. Otherwise, she's a beautiful pet and a lovely temperament. So I suppose the interesting thing there is that this is recent enough that she started reacting to other breeds when she's out on the lead.
Mm-hmm. So we can see this again for a number of reasons, but usually there's a trigger. So whether there was that she was kind of attacked or her space was encroached by another dog and it's triggered this and it's kind of gone from there. If it is something that's out of the blue, what I would recommend again is seeing your vet just to make sure your dog isn't unwell or that there's no pain. Otherwise, you know, a lot of your vets as well, and me included, we wouldn't be behaviourists. It is definitely worth having a consultation with a behaviourist and making sure that there's nothing that you are doing that you're not aware of that might be triggering this for your pet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one, a little unsavoury, but we'll do it anyway because I know this is, I've heard about this problem before. It's a puppy and they're very worried about her eating her own poo.
Yeah.
Now, she's also managed to find socks, which she's fully ingesting and they're worried about her. Is there any way to stop her from doing this?
OK, so I'll start with the socks because that is probably the more dangerous of the two. The socks is a really common one as well. So you really just need to make sure that you are clearing up around you all the time, you know, 24 hours, eyes all over the place. Puppies will find them, will root them out of the laundry bin. Socks with puppies, if they ingest them whole, they can get obstructed and they do need treatment for that, which
it's
is
an operation.
Surgery.
Yeah.
And it can be very expensive as well. It's a long recovery for the pet. So it's really just trying to be as mindful of it as you can. And you're not going to get everyone. They are devils in some ways.
Yeah.
They'll find socks everywhere or other items of clothing, but just try your best.
Do your best.
Yeah.
And the poo.
With the poo, there is very little that you can do about this. You need to break the cycle, really. So if they're eating their own poo in the garden, it's making sure that the minute that they do pass that poo, that you pick it up, that they don't get the opportunity to do it. And after about 3 months, 3-4 months of this, you should be able to break that cycle of them eating their poo. If they're eating other dogs' poo on walks, It is habit. It's not down to mineral deficiencies. A lot of people might think that they're missing something in their diet. It's not the case with dogs. It is habit. So it's breaking the habit and trying to do that for an extended period of time, and then you should have success.
Mm-hmm. And there's no rhyme or reason to why that happens. Like, it's not specific to a breed or anything, is it?
No, it's not. It's generally seen in younger dogs and puppies, and they just start that behaviour and it goes from there. Just they like the taste of the poo, which isn't as nice. Yes, but no, there is no rhyme or reason to it.
Okay, very quick one to finish. My 9-month-old puppy stops eating his dry kibble. So what happens is he'll eat a little bit when he's really hungry and then stop. Mm. They have a 6-kilogram bag of it, so they obviously want the dog to finish it. So what's happening there?
Okay, so this could be that the dog's getting calories from somewhere else and he's not hungry. So
scraps.
Yes. So just make sure you're checking in with everybody in the house that they're not feeding him bits from the table or whatever else it might be. If he's getting wet food as well, this is more calories. So it's making sure that he's not being overfed. If it's a palatability issue, he generally wouldn't be eating it much at all. So it probably isn't that in this case. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is it probably sounds like the dog has been overfed in some instance.
He's sneaking some food from somewhere. Yeah. Neve, thanks so much. Lovely to have you in.
Claire.
That's vet Neve Fagan.